Hello and welcome to another episode of the Coopticast. This is episode number 85 for April 9th, 2012. I am Mike, and I am joined by the usual gang of miscreants, Jason Love, Locke Vincent, and Nick Paleo. Say hello, gentlemen.
Hello, gentlemen.
Oh, God. That's, now say goodnight, Gracie.
Goodnight, Gracie.
Excellent. It's been a couple weeks since we last talked to you, and a lot of stuff's gone on, so let's kick things off and talk about what we've been playing. And we're gonna lead off strong with Nick.
Yes.
Yeah, so basically I haven't been playing any video games. The only time I've technically fired up my Xbox is to exercise, and I've been playing Your Shape Fitness Evolved and the men's workout sleeve busting lifting thing or whatever it's called.
Your abs ripped. He comes up to the Kinect and he's like, check this out.
Go big.
Right there. Yeah. So that's what it's all about. So
that's right.
So what is your shape right now?
it's kind of oblong, actually.
Still fat is what it is. So, yeah, it was funny because, you know, I have the Raptor thing that sends me the weekly summary of what you've been playing, and it was like 15 minutes of Mass Effect 3, which I think I just let it sit at the menu. I never actually played. And then it was like an hour and 45 minutes of Your Shape Fitness Evolved.
Nice.
Oh, that's depressing.
You could be like me and have it say, you know, you're an amateur in Mortal Kombat, but you are hardcore in Dance Central.
We're real
like,
gamers.
Oh.
We're real gamers. Oh,
damn it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, most of my time was just spent tweaking and programming and coding, and it was a stressful week leading up to PAX. Pretty hardcore, lots of late nights and everything else. So,
and was it worth it?
Yeah, no, it really was. I got there Thursday night, and actually got a hotel room outside the city on a beach, which was kind of cool.
Nice.
So it was a relaxing night, and just play through some of the stuff and some last minute tweaks, because it was kind of crazy. Like, literally I left my house at 11 o'clock in the morning, and I was doing coding changes until like 10 before I decided to tear everything down and throw it all in my car and go. But yeah, so yeah, I'll talk a little bit more about it later. Yeah. But yeah, it was cool. So, but that's it. No games otherwise. I did finally play some Mass Effect 3 today, but very, very little.
15 whole minutes.
Yeah.
Agonized over one decision to make in it. Just couldn't do it. Jason, how about you? You're about as strong as I am in game selection.
I've been playing Drawsome. And
Draw Something.
That's it. That is absolutely it. Work has rocked me for the past week. I've been in the office until just about 10 o'clock. Every night except for Friday night and tonight, because I had this to do. And once again, I debated whether or not to set up a conference call inside of our big boardroom there, but...
And you told your boss, I got something to do. Peace out.
Peace out. Drop the
Look,
mic.
Look, I am famous on the internet. I gotta go do my thing.
Don't you know anything about me?
I am Oregon
internet
Panther.
Celebrity, guys. Yeah.
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 Yeah. Yep.
Okay, Locke.
Let's talk about real
video games. Save us.
People haven't turned it off in the 4 minutes we've been recording. I'm glad you've made it this far, because I've actually been playing some cool stuff. Reviewed Warriors Orochi. Again, I can't state enough how surprised I was by that game. Again, we all think it's MASH and A. It, to an extent, it is. But there's so much more. The payoff for doing that and the content within that game is awesome. I was very surprised.
To be fair, sometimes you also use X and Y.
Yeah, you can throw an X in there. You can throw a certain... Well, I guess if I'm playing on... I was playing it on PS3.
Can you put down the Yellow Turban Rebellion?
Yes.
Do you fight Lu Bu?
But you can do this...
As a samurai,
as a dynasty warrior, as any combination of them. You can do it as Ryu Hayabusa, even, Like,
really?
Yeah, he's an unlockable character, and it's really cool.
Yeah, because he's owned by Tecmo Koei now, right?
Yeah, so that was really cool to do, and again, you just travel through time trying to save all these different heroes. And yeah, I for all the shit I talked about the Dynasty Warriors and Samurai Warriors series for the last 10 years, I'm really glad that I was able to play this one because it's a lot of fun and it's probably the best Warriors experience to date. So
what was
I
the think last... everybody gets to do a Dynasty Warriors game at some point in their reviewing career. It's kind of like a rite of passage. I did Dynasty Warriors 7 last year and we had a pretty good time playing that.
And
I will admit that series is one of my guilty pleasures.
Yeah.
So. What was the last Dynasty Warrior game that you played before this one, Locke?
Two.
So, really?
Yeah.
On the PS2.
It's been quite a while. Might have been
For you then, that's quite an evolutionary jump.
Oh yeah, it was going from like tadpole to human. So like, you're skipping a couple steps there.
Dude, that belongs on the back of the box.
Yeah.
From tadpole to human, 2002 to 2012. But,
dog. If you haven't played a Dynasty Warriors game since 2002, you might be surprised.
Yeah. Who knew?
I have such a soft spot for that series because Jason and I used to play it all the damn time in like local co-op with like Dynasty Warriors 3 and 4 on the PS2 and it was just it's a ton of
fun. I really
fun.
Love so, the one the I think it was 5 or 6 Empires that had the Empire subtitle that had the whole like strategy element of that game that was really
just made me want them to bring back Kessen.
But it does a lot of good things in the co-op. The one, it's not super annoying, but for any co-op mission that you want to play, you have to finish the mission first in single player, and then you can replay it in co-op. But that's okay, because a lot of the missions you play two or three times anyways, and if you play them with different characters, or if you do different objectives within the mission, you unlock different stuff. So it doesn't really matter if you play it over and over again. It's really neat how they do it, and I found myself always replaying a mission to see if I could save a commander that died, and sometimes you can and sometimes you can't. So and it is super satisfying, and I've been saying over and over, like, this was the perfect game for me to play after Mass Effect 3, because I the last 10 hours of Mass Effect I just plowed through, and I had this weird RPG hangover that I just needed to kill some dudes in mass quantities, and I need to press A, dress up these guys, and do some cool Musou attacks.
It's therapeutic.
Yep.
It's better than, you know, spending hours making penises in Soul Calibur or something.
So don't count that series out. It's very good. And I actually went ahead and bought the previous one just so I could see what that was like. And it's really hard
Orochi
to find.
Orochi or Dynasty Warriors 7?
Orochi.
Okay.
I have all the Orochi now. I don't own any of the Dynasty Warriors games.
Dynasty Warriors 7 was really fun.
Yeah,
it was.
Did anyone play Strike Force?
Yes, on the PSP.
Was that any good?
Yeah, it was pretty cool. It's a little more over the top. I think it's supposed to be
lions and tigers and stuff.
Shoot tigers out of your arrow or something. I don't know.
Well, there's like these giant.
That would be Borderlands goes feudal.
Yeah. So. But yeah, so that's $40 on PSN. It's download only on PlayStation, and it's really hard to find the disc version on 360. I checked a ton of stores where I live, and like no one's carrying it. So I'm sure American Amazon has it, but that's what you get for being up here.
Whoa, it's a party up in here!
Oh, portal party! Speaking
some,
of that,
chip tunes going on.
That's right. Gears 3 DLC that hit. And it's the Force of Nature pack, the last DLC pack for the Season's Pass. And since I am a Season's Pass holder, I hopped into those maps. They've added 6 new maps. They've got a new, well, not a new game type, but the Guardian game type is back, where you have, as long as you have your commander standing, you have infinite respawns. Once the leader is dead, then you don't have any, your guys don't respawn. Which is, it's, you know, it's a fine versus mode. The maps are really big and actually really well done. They all have a different sort of environmental effect that happens. So they're a little more dynamic than the other Gears maps, which I'm sure there's like, it's like 20 of them now. There's a ton of Gears maps when you scroll through everything, just selecting. And, you know, we played some Horde, we played some Beast Mode, which is always fun. There's a new set of achievements for another 250 achievement points. So that puts that game, puts Gears 3 up to 2,000 achievement points, which is crazy. And that's a ton, but...
That is a lot.
Yeah, that's a ton for one game. But that game's, yeah, again, just always a great excuse to play Gears is more DLC and more maps. So that's a go-to game for sure when you have a bunch of people. If you want to do like Horde or versus against each other, or even versus against the AI is fun. Just to learn the maps and see where everything is. So another nice. there's a cool Easter egg hidden within each of the maps on Horde mode. If you do end up checking it out, you can get a elemental sword cleaver in each of the maps, and you have to do like weird stuff. Like in Jacinto, one of the maps is Jacinto, and if you shoot three rain gutters to like hit the emulsion, it unlocks this sword and you can use that to fight. It's really cool. But we haven't managed to unlock any of the other ones just because they haven't been discovered yet, so I'm curious to see what those hold. But again,
so
sorry,
when you unlock those swords, then do you proceed to mash A a bunch and strike down?
Yeah, you just do this. That's all I've been doing.
I want to see Marcus's Musou attack. That just sounds like it would be amazing.
I think he would just like throw his chainsaw bayonet, and then I don't know, it'd come back and boomerang.
He actually turns into Bender and proceeds to
shoot lasers out of his mouth. Who knows? But, yeah, that's the Force of Nature DLC. I'm sure, you know, if you have a Season's Pass, check it out. And if you don't, then you're probably not interested in Gears anymore. But,
sad.
Yeah, I know. Great game. Great game. And then, other than that, just a bunch of XBLA stuff I'm trying to clean up. So, but nothing too crazy.
Yeah, unlike Locke, I was pretty light. I started playing Oath and Fel'Ghana on my Vita. It's a PSP game. That's a really fun update of East 3, which was the like odd side-scrolling East game from back in the Super Nintendo. I think it came out on like the PC, Super Nintendo, and you know pretty much any other 16-bit system at the time.
Yeah,
it's a good fun update. It's like a little hack and slash action RPG, and it's kind of mindless. And then you fight bosses that are pretty challenging right from the get-go. I mean, if you're not careful, the first boss will just completely demolish you because he has some attacks that are a little unpredictable to dodge, and that basically sets the tone for the rest of the boss fights because they're all kind of like that.
The thing I remember most from the Ys game, because I played one, I guess it was back Ys 2 or something like that for the Super Nintendo, was here was your character and like this was his sword, and basically you kill things by doing this.
Just running into stuff.
Just running into stuff, yeah. So, and I kind of vaguely remember then the third one, and I played that, I don't know, last year or something like that, because I had nothing else to play. Really enjoyed it, I mean, but Mike pretty much nailed it on the head there with, you come up against a boss, unless you've spent, like, the past 20 minutes grinding out levels to be way over-leveled for everything, you're just kind of hoping that you get to your breaker.
Like, it definitely falls in the you will die on the boss until you've gained enough levels, and then you will beat the boss, which is a criticism I actually heard leveled at was the new Xenoblade.
Oh, Xenoblade Chronicles?
Yeah, Xenoblade Chronicles. One of the reviews I read of it said that if you you'll go up to a boss and you'll just die no matter what you do, and then you will gain one level and suddenly win without changing your tactics. So
weird.
East is, you know, it's kind of like that, but it's pretty fun.
Just one more thing on East. It probably suffers from some of the old RPG tropes of
this is a complete ground up remake of it though.
But like,
so it's like
it's not similar to the other Ys games, because it's a different, you know, it's an entirely different game, but that whole grinding for levels in order to pass this one point is a trope of the old RPGs. Like that,
oh yeah,
back in, you know, the Dragon Warrior and Dragon Quest days, like, you had to do that. That was the whole game, just to extend it artificially. So
I just like to say that the name of the game makes me want to rip out my tongue.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a bit of that. But the nice thing about it, like, the story is, like, really unpretentious. It's just, like, it just keeps going. Like, there's no unnecessarily long dialogue. It just gives you enough to propel the story along, and I appreciate that. So I managed to get one of the new iPads, so I've been kind of mucking about with that, playing Draw Something with Jason and sending him very inappropriate photos, or drawings, I should say.
Photos? What game are you
in? I'm sorry, I'm translating some photos into a picture form.
Move on to the next topic. Move on to the next topic.
I had a friend, he drew the word Rondo, and he actually spent the time to painstakingly redraw the Japanese box art for Dracula X, Rondo of Blood.
All right.
And I was like, wow. It's literally, I was sitting there looking at it for like 10 minutes, because he just like did it very painstakingly. I'm like, I have no idea. And then it started coming together. I'm like, is that what that is? I think that is. And eventually it turned out to be. So I enjoyed that.
Mike's best drawing ever was white.
My best drawing ever was white, you know.
He did nothing. I sat there staring at the screen for a second, being like, when's Mike going to draw the lazy?
That's such a dick move, is just like, leave the animation there for a minute and then start drawing.
I've actually had people basically do like stick figure animation, because you can trash the drawing and it peels it away.
I thought about that.
So he'd do like a stick figure, and he'd peel it away, and he'd make it kind of do like five or six steps of animation. I thought it was really creative.
That's cool.
It's a game that it's a little bit, I think it's interesting. That's a little bit co-op to it, because unlike hanging with friends or any of those, there's not a competitive nature. Like, you want the other person to guess the word and try and get as high as you can with it. I think that's kind of an interesting dynamic with it.
It is, if they're playing it right, because a lot of times you get people that, you know, I'm okay with writing words down as like a vague hint. But, you know, sometimes you get people that draw a thing and then they write the word.
What?
They're like, they draw Earth and then they write Earth under it. I'm like, yeah, fucker, I know what Earth is.
Welcome to Earth.
You're playing with the wrong people, man.
Yeah, well, I don't play with as many people as I used to.
Yeah.
I trolled Jason hardcore. I think he's a little he's a little shell-shocked after that one. Oh, the less said about that,
would you like to
better.
Explain the joke to the rest of the class?
I will never look at a price tag the same again.
I might have drawn a Johnson.
Okay.
In excruciating detail. With a price tag hanging off of it.
You are abusing your powers of your new iPad. So.
I know, it's like the 10-inch screen makes, it just opens up so much more possibility.
Why does it have to be 10 inches? Anyways.
I don't know. Let's talk about news. So the new Game Informer cover was revealed, and will you stop laughing?
It's not me. It's Johnson over there.
Yeah. So the new Game Informer cover is revealed, and it's going to be Halo 4, and you know, as always, leading up to a magazine release, all the stuff leaks out, and they'll talk about what's in it. So there's a lot of Halo 4 details, but the pertinent info for us is that Firefight is gone.
What?
And that there are no plans for it to return.
Nope.
However, there is a new co-op mode called Spartan Ops for up to four players in online campaign-esque missions, which is basically saying that it's going to be Spec Ops from Call of Duty. Kind of. I'm not really sure.
Yeah.
I am a huge fan of Firefight, so hopefully this turns out to be really good. And
Firefight's awesome.
Yeah.
When is the appropriate time to get mad and pissy about this stuff?
I'm really worried about the game in general. It's supposed to be this fall, and it's been like so under wraps. I mean, I'm guessing E3 is going to be their big like super reveal of
I'm gonna wait till E3 to I'm gonna hold my judgment till then.
I've heard some things off the record, and it just kind of worries me.
Well, you know, I really wanted to like Halo Anniversary, and I felt it was just kind of a hatchet job. In the end, I had a really bad experience playing it, and some of the like the way the multiplayer integrated like was really weird. Like the deathmatch was actually like Halo Reach,
right?
And they slotted the old maps, but like the abilities were all it didn't work out as well as I think they wanted it to, and. It was something that really specifically bugged me about, like, I really liked that they updated the art, but I don't feel that they put the same level of polish on it that Bungie did on, their art. Mm-hmm. So it was, I knew I was playing Halo, but something about it just felt wrong, like, the entire time I was playing, I'm not sure.
Yeah, that's weird. I always look forward to one of my favorite things is playing through co-op Halo campaigns, like the full story. It's as long as you don't have a tour guide saying, "Hey, this part's cool." Hey, this part.
Yeah.
I didn't actually play it in co-op at all, which is probably which is something I need to do eventually. But it was, I was just kind of disappointed with it, and I really hope that 343 steps it up for Halo 4 because. I really like the series, and I don't want to see it go weird. Yeah.
Flagship series, that's weird to see stuff being taken out, but we'll see.
So, praise the sun.
I am praising.
Praise for those of you who are only listening, Locke is praising the sun visually.
I am praising. Always be praising.
Dark Souls appears to be coming to PC. And as usual, these types of leaks and rumors come from the covers of PC game magazines from various and sundry parts of Europe. In this case, it is Germany, the magazine PC Action. There is a Google Translate that I really appreciate.
PC Achtung.
Sorry.
PC Achtung baby. So the quote is, "The stick hard console RPG finally conquered their PC."
Of course it did.
Yeah. So, but it's right there on the cover. It's pretty hard to mistake Dark Souls for anything else. And I guess it's going to be called the Prepare to Die Edition, and there will be some additional bosses. And being a PC version, I bet it's going to get modded to hell. And, whether they officially support mods or not, and it's probably going to be a delightful mess, but I might give it another spin on PC.
It's going to be absolute mayhem with mods, and people are going to tear apart the online and just, like, have big level 100 guys taking on level 10 guys. It's going to be a wasteland. It's nuts.
I just hope for someone to hack together a play with the co-op partner I want to mod.
I'm sure that'll happen. I'm very sure that'll happen.
Infinite white soapstone spawning.
I'm very curious to see if the additional content that they're putting with this becomes DLC or whatever they're going to do with the console version, because I heard that they weren't going to touch the console version. Now, I have no idea what they're going to do, because they had some sort of announcement of DLC, like the Dark Forest DLC or something.
Mm-hmm.
And then they still have that stupid wall on Facebook.
Yeah, the wall, the announcement wall, it doesn't have enough likes on Facebook, so people need to go. I clicked like.
Of course.
And
I won't do it.
You won't do it?
I'm not going to do it, man.
No.
Nick does not support the idea of
Dark Souls. Totally just like,
Nick doesn't like good co-op PC games. Is that what it is, Nick?
No, I like good co-op PC games. That's what it is.
I'm gonna click no damn wall. Mr. Gorbachev, you put that wall back up.
Oh, 1 point for Jason.
Zing.
That's excellent.
Nice.
Yeah, so Gears of War Exile, which is the rumored Kinect title that we really didn't know anything about other than a title has.
I love the quote.
Yeah, the start of that article is pretty priceless.
Yeah, let's read it. let's read it all out. So it's been canceled, even though we didn't really know anything about it other than the logo.
You gotta
which I think was pulled from a patent filing. Let's see.
Bad news, everyone!
Gears of War Exile, an unannounced game lacking any details other than this Heather image, has been struck down by the Hammer of Dawn.
It's been chainsawed
to bits. It has ceased to be. And so on and so forth. So yeah, we didn't know anything about it except that it had a name and a black and white logo. But here we are reporting on it as news because we got suckered in. Because, you know, sometimes you got to grasp at those straws and you know, something shakes out.
Because we were all looking forward to a Kinect Rails gear shooter. Right,
at least, dude. I am totally looking. You know, I'm looking forward to that the Steel Battalion game on Kinect. I think that'll be amazing.
So I got to shit. Since you talk about that, and I know I'll forget later. They had that demoed on the show floor at PAX East.
Yeah,
And so people are playing it, and it's like the tutorial mode that comes up. You know, and it has little hands on the screen showing you how to do things. Well, one of them, the hands just come up like this. And I just looked over, and there's a hand doing this, and then there's a person going like this out in the air. I gotta just find some
dust jazz hands.
No, that's to clean the windshield. Windshield wipers. Yeah.
I just wanted to like take a booth babe and put him right in front.
Yeah,
of
me. Yeah. It's do this and then motorboat. Yeah, it's kind of terrible, but I'm really looking forward to that because it has like you're using the controller and then you're using the Kinect stuff for like random functions, and I think that could be like super interesting. And I kind of, one of my secret shames is that I don't own the original Steel Battalion. It's something I actually almost bought when it came out, and I didn't, and I'm very sad. But let's move on because I don't want to talk about hypothetical Gears games anymore.
All I'm saying is, I'm looking forward to the day when the actual move in Kinect is to hide behind your couch to take cover.
Hide behind a rock?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. So, as you may have heard, since we are on the internet, there's a bit of controversy about Mass Effect 3. A lot of people don't like the ending and such. We're not going to talk about that. Because they announced...
We're talking hands.
They announced free DLC for the co-op mode, which we all really liked. And so you get, it's called the Resurgence Pack, and you get two new multiplayer maps and some new characters, and it's pretty cool. But then there's a freaking Krogan Vanguard.
Dude, there's
and
a
Vanguard's
Geth.
Already like commenting themselves into battle. And the Krogans can, like, headbutt, and it'll be amazing.
My
and
Vanguard we have to, will destroy all.
We have to get online and play it again, because the number of people screaming for Tuchanka with Krogan battle masters running around will be amazing.
Now I have
There's some extra weapons and some new multiplayer, some new consumables for the mode. But
I have a whole new XX Penis Lord XX character to create.
It's pretty cool that they actually added a whole new race. You can play as Batarians in the mode now, and as Geth as well,
which is awesome. Geth engineer.
Yeah, so Geth on Geth action is definitely possible. I'm personally digging it.
I got a website for that.
Yeah, it's called cooptimist.com, ladies and gentlemen. So this DLC is free, it's been announced as free, which is interesting because Microsoft has kind of been weird about free DLC for games.
Yeah.
Specifically, like, Valve games. I mean, Team Fortress 2 on, or the Orange Box on Xbox is just a really weird thing. And Microsoft basically told Valve to pound sand when they said they wanted to offer free updates and all that. And here we are with not one but two pieces of free DLC announced for Mass Effect 3.
That's awesome.
They are extending the ending and giving it more context. And I'm just going to come out and say,
don't spoil that it, please.
Post credits, it's just going to do the Animal House ending.
That would be awesome.
It's like Garrus Vakarian, you know,
is Jim Belushi. He just pulls off the mask.
I wish he was John Belushi, but Jim's the only one available for comment right now. But yeah, I get the feeling it's just going to be an Animal House ending where it's like, you know, in the midst of the ending, it pans out and says, yo, this thing, yeah, this stuff happened later. That's pretty cool. I wouldn't expect it to change the ending in the slightest, and, you know, you petition signers in the world, I think, are fools to expect anything different.
Agreed.
So, let's move on. Also, the ending of that game is pretty great if you forget that the last couple minutes happened. Seriously, there's a point in the ending of that game where if they just faded to black right there, it ended perfectly.
That is the extended cut. They just kept going. Is that your Xbox grows a hand and knocks you unconscious right before the ending plays.
Yeah, so for Nick's sake, we won't say anymore, because Nick hasn't beaten it.
It'll be like July at this rate.
Nick, just do what I did. Pull an all-nighter, stay up till 7 in the morning, and finish it. It's really good for your body and your system.
I ended up beating it at about 1:30 a.m. One night. I said, I know I'm pretty close to the end. I'm just going to finish it.
And I mean, just look at Locke. It's had no negative impacts on him.
Seriously. Totally coherent every day, but... This DLC is not going to help my addiction to buying crates.
Spectre crates. So Locke, and be honest, how many times have you used Microsoft points to buy a crate? Zero?
Yeah, I grind it out, baby.
Is that three I see Jason holding up?
Yeah.
I think...
You paid real life money to unlock a crate?
I think there is no shame in doing that, because I worked out the math. If you play on bronze, it takes you three or four matches. Each match is 20 minutes, so you're saying you're getting a Spectre pack an hour. And how much is one Spectre pack in Microsoft dollars?
$2.
So your time is worth, what, $20 an hour? It's usually worth it to buy it with your hard-earned money.
Maybe
so.
Your time's worth $20 an hour, sir.
You know, it's pretty interesting. The Shoot Mini Robots guys, I talked to them at PAX East about that, because they have a similar thing in their game where you can buy like the higher level guns instead of trying to get it. And I asked him, I said, you know, how's that working out for you guys? And he said, I can't give you any numbers. He said, but it's much better than we expected. Hmm. So, I mean, people spend
the
money.
So you heard it
here
first.
Admit to doing it once, and only because I had that much in my points queue already. I'm like, why not?
You heard it here
I'm not going to add points to my account to buy shit in a game like that. But, you know, if I have the chain, it's like all the Avatar gear I have. That's usually like me cashing in like the leftovers of a points purchase I made. So I think it's appropriate there, and it's in some ways it's kind of nice. But yeah, let's round out the news and talk about some. Well,
we already talked about
feudal Japan and, you know, the Yellow Turban Rebellion and all that, but
this time with Pokemon.
This time we're going to do it with Pokemans, because we have Pokemon Conquest, which is a mashup of it's a mashup of Pokemon and Nobunaga's Ambition.
Now, really, hands up here. I got to take an informal poll. Who saw this game coming?
Yeah, that's what I saw the Famitsu report a couple weeks ago.
I mean, seriously, how do they even think, hey, look, you know what? We got this really awesome Dynasty Warriors series and Pokemon. Yeah!
No, you're not seeing it. It is two series where they can keep making the same games for 20 years.
Yes, that's what it is.
And their forces have combined.
I think what it is the guy who developed Dynasty Warriors and the guy who developed Pokemon were in a car accident, and they just had to fuse the two together.
So this is like
the
chocolate
cheese
and peanut butter moment.
Yeah, exactly. You got peanut butter in my chocolate.
you got Pikachu in my Lubu. This is treading into some Rule 34 territory.
Oh. Lubu's only weakness is an electric Pokemon.
I always thought it was Squirtle, but
it's run. You cannot defeat Pikachu.
But like, this is kind of a cool sort of side series that Pokemon hasn't. At least I don't think. Has there been a turn-based Pokemon game? Or not
all
turn-based,
the Pokemon
sorry,
games
like,
are turn-based.
Turn-based strategy game, I mean.
No.
Yeah, so that's kind
of the mystery dungeons are kind of, like the Pokemon Mystery Dungeon are about as close as you get, but that's more of a roguelike.
Yeah, and also for babies. This actually looks
fine.
Cool. This actually
go
looks
play,
cool.
Go play NetHack.
I don't know what that is.
Yeah.
I think the only
it's not for babies.
Strategy was Pokemon Snap. There you go.
But I'm just saying, like, Pokemon Mystery Dungeon, sure, whatever it is, but, like, this Nobunaga's thing can really bring some legitimacy to Pokemon. Come on, as a turn-based...
I don't think Pokemon needs legitimizing, sir. It's a multi-billion-dollar franchise.
Yeah, but it's when would it ever go to a turn-based strategy game?
But it's clearly lacking legitimacy, Mike.
Hey, you gotta catch them all. Yeah, alright, so yeah, I'm actually a huge fan of video game mashups. I really love, like, the Versus series, and I like the idea of Street Fighter cross Tekken, and, you know, Phoenix Wright teaming up with Professor Layton, and things like that. So I think this could potentially be pretty cool, but I'm not sure what to think of this at this time.
I think it's awesome.
Yes. So that's about it for the news. I don't think we have anything else that's really, you know, jumping out at me right now. So let's talk a bit about PAX East. Nick, you just got back from that.
I did.
And how was it?
It was pretty underwhelming. The big thing was After spending a good chunk of my day there Friday just kind of trolling around the show floor and doing a few laps, I'd say a good 50% of the content there was free-to-play games. And, like, you're talking League of Legends probably had the biggest booth there.
That game is huge, dude.
It is.
And then you had things like the World of Tanks folks / Wargaming, Firefall, those were probably, like, the big free-to-play booths. But then there's, like, a ton of, like, free-to-play MMOs. Like, there's the Neverwinter game, a game called Terra. The one...
A friend of mine is the community manager.
I was about to
game.
Say that.
The one that Tally was reporting on today, name eludes me. Started with an R. Raiders or something like
Raiders,
that?
Raiders, yeah.
Yeah.
Close enough.
And it just, I don't know, like, it all just starts to blend together for me. They, you know, there's some that try and do some different stuff. You know, like, I think Firefall, like, stands out as something, like, you'd look at that. Though then you have Tribes was actually another big one, right? That's another free-to-play.
Tribes Ascend.
Yeah. It's just, they're everywhere. And I think it's doing something interesting to the industry and, like, it's kind of inserting itself smack in the middle, and then it's pushing the indies kind of down, and they're forming their own little niche down here, and then it's pushing the AAA titles up, and then a lot of those, like, studios that would do kind of, like, middle-tier stuff before are kind of migrating over to this free-to-play kind of thing. I don't know. It's just... It was really... There just seemed to be three distinct groups there of games, and it's what I just said. AAA games, which was basically Ubisoft and 2K. They competed with, like, Borderlands, and then Ubisoft had Ghost Recon and Far Cry 3. Like, those two were generally pretty packed. Sega's Aliens Colonial Marines did okay. The Rockstar booth had Max Payne 3 there, and it seemed pretty underwhelming, like, in terms of, like, how busy it was. Not a lot of interest around there. But then you had all those free-to-play things then, too, and then you had indies. And there was a good, strong showing from indie devs there. A whole bunch of indie devs pulled together and got what they called the Indie Games Mega Booth. I think there were 16 indie devs together in this booth. which was pretty huge. And then there was also the PAX Indie Showcase.
Is that like the PAX 10?
Yeah, yeah. The Boston one is a little bit different. I don't remember what the theme was this year. They usually do a theme one for it. But there was like six games in that. And then, you know, and then there was just some other indie devs who went on their own. Like, I finally got to meet Arkane Games, Chris Park, from there. And I got to chat with him, who I've chatted with him over email for years now, because he's a huge fan of our site. You know, they make it AI War, and they're coming out with a Valley Without Wind actually next week. So it was kind of cool to get to chat with him. But overall, like, I don't know, nothing grabbed me. Nothing stood out. Like, I was like, oh my God, this was amazing. There was no surprises. I think the other problem is we're kind of in a transition year here. A lot of the AAA big studios are getting ready for whatever the next consoles are going to be. You know, we're still kind of waiting on the Wii U, what's going on with that. There's the rumors of the next PlayStation, the next Xbox. It's just...
And, you know, and we just had, like, the Vita launch, so all those games came out, and there's not really anything, you know, been announced yet.
The only Vita game I even saw there was the Mortal Kombat one that was coming out. Like, very few booths even had any upcoming stuff for that. But, like, some of the bigger ones, like Square Enix booth was pretty underwhelming. They had like one of everything, and that was kind of it. Microsoft's booth was a Kinect fest, and
always
like nothing but Kinect stuff. And then a few, they did have a really cool arcade title. The name's gonna elude me.
Majestic 12.
It looks like Shadow Complex meets Limbo, but it's set in like the zombie world. Absolutely stunning looking.
That sounds awesome.
Crap. Yeah, it's called...
Did you see the sort of stealth action ninja game from Clay?
They were stuck like in a corner, and they had it playable on one screen. I think they had like two screens set up.
That was looking
And I watched
sweet.
It for a little bit. It looked kind of cool. It looked pretty early still.
Yeah, fair enough.
So I didn't actually get hands on with that.
Was there any any hidden gems? You said there was no surprises, so I'm assuming no. But like
that game I was just talking about, I didn't actually get to play it because there was a pretty big line. But that I don't know where that was. It's coming this summer in XBLA. But it's a game you just sit back and you look at it and you're like, holy crap, that looks amazing. It's very very stylized.
Right.
That's reminding me, what was the game that we saw last time we were at PAX East that was like an arcade title that really wowed us? I'm trying to remember. It was like a Shadow Complex-like game.
I don't even remember.
Is it called Deadlight?
I think it might be, yeah.
Yeah. Deadlight looks pretty damn cool.
Yes. Yeah, this is it.
Cool. Sweet. No, I'm always curious to see what people's surprises are because it's never something that you expect. It's always something you just, look at this cool thing. You stumble upon it or someone tells you about it. And that's what I like hearing about from conventions.
This game right here, Air Mech, from Carbon Games, was pretty cool. That I didn't really have any interest to until I talked to the guys about it. And we covered it a little bit today. Right now, it's actually just a browser-based game. It needs Chrome to run because it uses the native, whatever that's called.
Use like WebGL or something.
It's going to be a full Steam release.
Sweet.
It's a free-to-play game again, but it's cool because you play as this jet that transforms into a mech. And it kind of has all these RTS elements. When you're in a jet form, you can pick up units and move them around the map and stuff, and you can spawn in new units and stuff, and then you transform into the mech, and then you can fight.
It's kind of like
co-op in it.
Sorry,
I was gonna say the co-op in it is just it's comp stomp, but I mean the whole game is comp stomp. There's no story or anything, so it's three versus the AI if you want to do that, and it's kind of like the multiplayer online battle arena games like League of Legends, where you have a base and there's some capture points, and then you got to try and capture the points to get to the other base to destroy it.
Yeah, it reminds me of Herzog's Y. It's like that old Genesis game that you could turn into a mech and a plane. So.
Yeah, but it's by the guys that did Fat Princess. Some of the guys involved that did Fat Princess. And apparently this game was in place before Fat Princess, and they pitched it to Sony, and Sony didn't want it.
Wow.
So they ended up just putting it on hold, doing Fat Princess, and then these guys went and did this Air Mech. It's pretty cool. So, I mean, I guess that was kind of one of my surprises. There's some other interesting ones. The indie games are the ones that really hold my attention. There's another one. Again, I'm sorry that I'm so freaking brain dead right now, but there's another one that's like it's like a rhythm game that the idea of it is you have to... The story is you kill the final boss and he caused basically a rift in the space-time continuum. And
retrograde?
The only way to fix it... Yes, retrograde, thank you. Yeah, and so you have to play the entire game backwards and undo all of your shots and your dodges. It's kind of a neat little concept.
And you play it with the guitar.
You can. Yeah, you can if you want.
So it's like the first dishwasher.
Yeah. That was really pretty and stuff. I don't know... It had legs to it. Like, it looked like it might get old, but it's an interesting concept.
When I played it last, the music was really good, which I think is a cool selling feature of it. Like, really cool ambient techno stuff, which I'm into, and you really get into the beats, and you can see how the beats form from different, the different things you're trying to collect. That's like the, the hi-hat or the snare drum or whatever. It's a really cool game.
I guess the most fun I had, I had a few appointments I checked out. I checked out, Far Cry 3 was supposed to have something with a co-op mode. At least that's what the invite made it sound like, but it wasn't. It was a versus mode they had on display. And then I interviewed a dev and kind of asked him about co-op, and it was, I can't talk about that now, blah, blah, blah.
Have I ever told you the definition of insanity? I was expecting co-op from a Far Cry game.
Well played, sir.
Indeed.
So that was kind of a disappointment. But what else did I play? Firefall, I got to play a good chunk of that. They're doing some really cool stuff in that, in terms of like persistent world, dynamic co-op stuff. Like, I think it'll be really good. I'm still kind of unclear as to what they're going to charge for. They're saying it's all aesthetic stuff.
We should just get a staff, bunch of staff copies, and hold our meetings in there. So we just have this 60.
Yeah.
Were they showing something other than the verses? Because last time we were there,
I actually got to play like the story. A bit. And so like it starts out and you're checking out something and then some enemies attack. But you could basically, in any mission, you can squad up to do stuff. But there's specific things, too. Like, they called it thumper missions. And basically, what it is, it's mining for minerals. And so you call in this big thumper thing, and it hits the ground, and it's like pounding the ground and mining the minerals. But every time it does that, it attracts enemies. So it basically turns into survival missions. You have to protect this thing. While it's mining the minerals for your group and survive. So I got to see some of that, which was pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
No, Firefall is definitely looking solid. I'm in the beta now. I got to download it. It's like 6 gig.
How'd you get in the beta?
Because I played it at PAX. Anybody that played it at PAX got in the beta.
I played it at PAX last year, and I didn't get in the beta.
I kind of said to the guy, I was like, what was... We were told last PAX that the beta was going to start soon. He's like, oh, it did. He's like, we started it last PAX. It's just been a closed beta. I was like, wow, that's teasing.
Yeah.
So I guess it's going to rapidly ramp up now. They just switched to a 24/7 beta. I guess before it was literally like a couple hours a week.
Mm-hmm.
So now it's kind of going 24/7, and it's going to kind of ramp up. What else did I play? A really fun game, Orcs Must Die 2.
Nice.
It's got co-op now. So Tally and I
are very pleased about that. Yeah, that's something we skipped over in the news.
Yeah. So Tally and I got to play that. And there's two characters. There's a war mage and a sorceress. They play similar. The sorceress is a little bit faster, and a little, she takes a little damage, a little bit, or she has weaker armor.
Yeah.
But they have a couple different abilities, like the sorceress. She shoots primarily with the staff, but Her secondary is a charm, so she can charm an enemy for a few seconds to fight for you guys. The War Mage has like a shotgun, and his secondary is like a grenade, like AoE kind of attack, kind of like you had with that bow and arrow in the first one.
Yeah.
They share a large chunk of the traps from the first game, but there are some unique ones to each character. The biggest thing I found that we played was the level design seemed a lot tighter. The one level we played, it was a mine, and it had kind of two levels going, and the entrances, you could always see both entrances from any point. So Tally might have taken the low road and I was taking the high road, guys were coming out of both things, but I could see if she was in trouble, I could get down and help her if she was getting overrun, or I could even cover if I had a ranged weapon, I could cover from up above and things like that. So and they added a lot of nice little touches. The mine levels had carts that were going through it, and you could actually change the tracks that the carts were on to hit the orcs and stuff. Nice. There's a lot of how you could shoot the chandeliers down in the first game to on top. There's a lot more of those kind of things around the levels you can use to your advantage. Overall, pretty impressed with that. It is coming to PC only, and I don't expect it to come to XBLA.
Did they have a reason for that at all?
Yeah, they were pretty. The PC community, I guess, is a lot bigger than the XBLA one for them.
So, I think it sold a lot better on the PC.
That's basically what it comes down to.
Yeah,
yeah. And those guys are the Robot is the weird descendant of Ensemble, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
So those are PC guys already.
Yeah.
Because I went to last PAX, how was Battle Block Theater this time, or did you play it?
We played a couple levels. I played it with one of the developers. The only thing I didn't like, and the only thing that kind of turned me off to it, was actually it was the arcade cabinet, right, which was awesome, except figuring out the button layout made it confusing for me, right? Because the way some of the actions mapped didn't feel natural.
It's like jump on your pinky or something.
So I had to keep looking down while playing it, and in a game where you're worried about timing for your jumps and stuff like that, it's very difficult to play through. But it's really interesting in how it combines kind of like a platformer with a little bit of an action game. Puzzle game, and the co-op stuff is cool. You could do stuff your buddy can run at you, and you can basically dwarf toss him across pits, stuff like that.
That's cool.
Did you get to try out any of the built-in griefing stuff? Because I remember when I played it, you'd have all those co-op moves, but you could do stuff there'll be a ledge, and you're on one side of the ledge, and your buddy, because he tossed you over, but now he can't jump that far, so you have to hold your hand out to grab him.
Yeah, actually had a funny term for it. I wrote it down. Let me see if I can find it real quick. They called it co-optional.
Yeah. Yeah, because it was really, because when I was playing it, they're like, he'll throw you across the pit, and then you get onto the other side, and you hold your hand out for him, and at the last second, you just let go and watch them fall into a pit of spikes.
Damn, it's time to register a new site, cooptional.com.
The whole game seemed like it was based around griefing your pals as you go through.
It's a really zany idea. When the guy's okay, I said, I know, I've seen it. I said, why don't you run me through the story? And he's like, okay, so there's this evil hat that traps you in a theater filled with evil cats. I'm like, okay.
Sold.
You gotta put on a play for him. He's like, but you can upgrade and customize your guy. We have two forms of currency, gems and yarn. I was like, yarn? Okay, that makes sense. He's like, well, it's to bribe the evil cats.
Nice.
Okay. It's just it's really off the wall, some of the ideas and stuff, but
you act surprised. This is coming from the developers that had a poop-propelled deer in Castle Crashers.
I think some people are going to be kind of surprised in terms of, the style of it is a little plain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, at least on the surface, it's a little, Castle Crashers, you look at it and it's instantly,
pops.
Recognizable.
Yeah.
Everything in Battle Block kind of looks the same, until you see it in motion and really like kind of feel it. It's interesting that like they said that there's going to be hundreds of customizations available for your characters. You can customize the head, the body, and the legs.
Dress up your dolls.
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, what's cool is if you unlock stuff and you don't want it and you see something somebody else has, you can actually trade unlocks.
Oh, that's good.
Which is pretty neat. They said that there's, you know, there's going to be that many that, and it's going to be hard to get some of them or, you know, whatever.
Nice.
So they implemented an actual like trading system for that. But yeah, that's cool. I mean, it seems pretty cool. I personally, I'm not a big fan of platformers. I just get too angry. I want to like them, but usually
you should never play Rayman. Then
Rayman, I found like Super Meat Boy. No, it pisses me off. Like, 3 levels, I was done. I was like, no, this is. But I mean, some of them are.
You should play I Want to Be the Guy.
No, no, no. You shouldn't. It's like Super Meat Boy on crack.
I think other than that, I'm trying to think what else I played here. I mean,
you played Borderlands, didn't you?
I played Borderlands like 2 weeks before. We went to an event in New York City, Tally and I, and we played Borderlands 2. And I wrote up a pretty big preview on that on the site. They had the Gunzerker and the Siren class playable through two pretty big missions. It was set up actually on PCs, but playing with gamepads. So it looked really, really good. You know, it's tough to say how it looked on an Xbox or something, but it looked really, really good on the PCs. I don't know. Like it felt like the skills were more designed for co-op stuff. Like the Siren has the ability to basically raise a guy above the battlefield and hold him there in a giant blue bubble.
Yeah, so crowd control.
Yeah, exactly. And the Gunzerker has lots of damage type stuff that you can do. And
did you see that they announced that they're having DLC character classes after game's release?
Yeah, I did catch that today.
Mechjaneer, Cyborg, Pigtail Girl.
Yeah, their panel was real late. It was actually like the last panel of PAX, so I kind of missed out on that.
But, one of the other things I think came out of that was that they said that each of the DLC packs was put together in under 8 weeks.
Yeah.
Which was, like, kind of insane considering the size of some of them.
Yeah. But, I mean, overall, I mean, it's Borderlands. It's just really refined and polished. And we had a really good conversation with two of the producers, and they basically said, like, in the first game, we kind of teetered back and forth on, like, how we support single player and co-op, blah, blah, blah. And they were like, for the second game, we cared only about co-op. Like, that was the way everybody played the game and enjoyed the game. And so, they're like, it's perfectly playable in single player, but we wanted to make sure that co-op was, like, extra awesome this time.
Yeah,
so that was cool. That was cool to hear. And the other interesting thing they said was that they actually kind of designed the game for couch co-op first. Like, even though, you know, it supports online, they said they couch co-op was actually their primary concern, and they wanted that, you know, feeling of playing with a buddy on your by your side as, like, the focus of the game, so.
Hmm.
I thought that was pretty awesome. Interesting. Yeah.
Did you get a release date for Monaco?
You know, I didn't even... His booth was mopped. But I did see, he said that they just finished porting the whole game over to C++.
Oh, good.
So,
and you know, now that Fez has a set release date, he can now...
Yes, Monaco can...
It's looking really, really good. It's definitely cleaned up a lot and come a long way.
It has come a long way. It's like, I've been following that game for 4 years.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember I played it like 2 years ago.
Well, remember the build we got from him? Like, when we had him on the podcast back in the day? So.
Yeah,
it was a great interview.
Yeah.
That was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
But so that was my, my PAX East in terms of the one half I was doing. Then the other half was trying to pimp Blue Shield Alliance.
Boom!
That was kind of interesting because I had an enforcer actually email me when he saw me kind of mention it, and he said, "Be careful because we're supposed to watch out for people soliciting stuff and blah blah blah." So, and that was kind of my whole concept of the show was I was just going to go to like gameplay areas and like try and drag people over to play it. So I did go to, you know, like I did go to some areas and set up and play, but I didn't actively like hand people the promo cards and stuff like that and try and drag them over for fear of mm-hmm. getting kicked out. So we only had a couple people actually play at the show itself. We had a bunch of people come up and watch, which was interesting. And you know, I handed them cards and stuff then, but,
I suddenly had this image of Nick, like, staying around and being like, hey, like, video games?
Come hey, on, you want to come check this out?
Yeah.
Hey.
You know, I
like
know
playing
how...
co-op games, little boy.
What are you buying?
You know, it helped that I had Kat there. She no, I mean, it is as sexist as it is. Like, she volunteered to do it, and she volunteered to wear a tank top with sporting the BSA logo on it. So she was showing plenty of skin, which attracted plenty of eyes our direction, and certainly helped.
You consumer whore.
Oh. But, you heard it here first. Nick Paleo sold out to the man.
Yeah. So
yeah, unfortunately, he's not Instagram.
I think next show, we just got to have tons of dudes in Speedos. And
I know.
Get them hawking the game wherever we go. And then,
yeah, we'll get you and Mike out there.
Of course.
But then Saturday night, I had, you know, planned a little bit more behind closed doors get together for some friends and some press people and some devs and stuff. And that went really, really well. A couple of Colony Gamers community folks showed up.
Sweet.
I did meet a couple co-optimist guys at the show, and they were going to end up coming, but last minute, the guy was with his daughter and she ended up getting sick, so he couldn't come. But we had some press folks come. Phil Kohler came, which was pretty cool, and I got to talk to him about
the internet's Phil Kohler.
Yeah, his new gig at Polygon. And
it's a website about video games.
I busted Chris Grant so bad for that. The way he did it, it was like so nonchalant. Polygon.
It's a video games.
Yeah.
Hey. The gifts that came out of that video were amazing, by the way.
Some of the Robot Entertainment folks showed up too, which was kind of cool.
Nice.
It went really, really well. The feedback was pretty positive, as well as some good constructive criticism on some improvements and stuff. And
mm-hmm.
ironically, most of the stuff people said was things that was like already on our to-do list. So I guess it's good to know going in the right direction with a lot of things. It was a really crazy 2 days, and then Sunday I woke up and was kind of depressed. Like, it's like, I don't know. For so long I was looking forward to everything, and everything was hyped up. And then it was over, and it was just like, you know, exhale.
Man.
You know what I do at that point in PAX? Drink more.
I drank plenty. I drank plenty through the whole show.
No, that's good to hear about the both the games coming up and of course Blue Shield Alliance, because what, that's hitting this summer, Nick, or what?
Yeah, so you know, I talked to Chris and Kelly Brown from the Married Gamers were there, and I did an interview with him and kind of told him that we're shooting middle of June is at least the Xbox indie game release date. because we want to submit for Dream Build Play, and that's the cutoff time there.
Yeah.
So.
Cool.
Yeah, there's a lot of work yet to do, but it's mostly content oriented stuff. So for basically the next month, we're going to be churning through stuff, and then it's going to be a lot of testing and iterating and
some work for me.
What's that?
I said, and some work for me.
Or are you doing all the voice acting, Jason? Is that what it is?
No.
No, he wants me to write up a thing, and it's like, you're going to have to wait until I'm done, dude. There's no time.
Can't wait. Anyways, that's sweet, man.
Yeah. So, I think that's just going to about wrap it up for this week.
On that bombshell.
We have some news. Was that?
And on that bombshell.
And on that bombshell, yes. There are some who say, the only word I know is defenestrate. Anyway.
And you know two facts about ducks, and both of them are wrong.
Yes. So, we always talk about our mobile phone applications, and just iOS this app. Past week, the iOS Whoa. App finally launched. We have been promising it for how long? 18 months?
A long time.
We were promising it since before the first app launched, and so now there's an iOS app. It's called Co-Optimist. It's in the Apple App Store. It is free of charge. Please download it, and if you like it, give us a good rating. If you don't like it, you know, take it to the forums and maybe tell us, you know, what we could do to improve it. We have Windows Phone 7 and Android apps as well, so we cover basically every relevant phone. I'm sorry if you own a BlackBerry, but screw you. You can buy we're some just shirts from our Split Reason affiliate store. Was that?
I said, we're just sorry that you own a BlackBerry.
Yeah, exactly. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Your leash is complete. So you can buy shirts from our Split Reason affiliate store still. We have a few left. Leave us feedback on iTunes, and you can follow us on Twitter. We are Co-Optimist without the dash. If you would like to leave us a voicemail, the number for that is 646-926-6748. And unless anyone else has anything else to say, I'm going to say that we out.
See ya.
Peace.